Let's begin. We're up to Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf. Yirmiyah speaking in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Ki mi'olam shavarti uleich nitakti mo sirosayich v'tarmi loy e'evor. Ki al kol givo givoha v'sas v'leitzra non at tso'oh zoynoh. Okay, a lot going on. Let's review. Hashem says, Yirmiyah speaking in the name of Hashem, Ki mi'olam, I always have come to your defense. From time immemorial, I have always been extremely good to you, Klal Yisrael. Ki mi'olam, from days of your time immemorial, Shavarti uleich, I broke your yoke. Anytime a nation attempted to subjugate you, to force you to do things that were not to your benefit, I broke the yoke of the nations from upon your neck. Nitakti mos sirosayich, I cut your straps. Mos sirosayich is translated by most mepharshim as leather straps. The leather straps have been severed. Batoimri, and in response to Hashem, the Klal Yisrael, in response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed of saving us, Klal Yisrael said, Batoimri, you said, Lo e'evor, I will no longer transgress your mitzvos. We responded with a promise, with a commitment that from here on in we will be good to Hashem, we will no longer ever transgress Hashem's mitzvos. Hashem, now you have to put a period there, or a comma, or a semicolon. I'm not sure exactly what goes there, but there's definitely a break. Hashem responds, but you have failed to keep your part, to keep the commitment. Ki al kol givoha. But instead of being truthful to your commitment, yet on every valley, every high valley, v'sachas kol eitz ra'anan, and underneath every single leafy tree, at so'ah zonot, so here we're going to tell you turned away from my service like a zona harlot that today is with one woman, and it was with one man, and tomorrow is with another man. Every single day she has a different person that she affiliates with, that she is associated with. Likewise, you, every single day you find for yourself another God. Your commitments are worthless. Your promises are worthless. This is the mussar that Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael. Let's see the mitzvot of Pasuk Chaf. Ki mi'olam, hallo. Mimos olam hayisi l'chol le'ezra. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, from time immemorial I always came to your assistance. V'shavarti ha'ol asher hechbidu alecha ha'umos. I have always lightened the yoke which the nations of the world have put upon you. Natakti hetetakti mi'al tzavarech kishrei ritzuos olam. I cut. The Mitzudos Sion translates the word natakti in ha'atoko v'hasara. Removed. I removed from upon your neck the bands of the straps that tied you down to foreign nations. That toimri. That toimri means oz omarto. Then, at that point in time, when I said to you, said Lo Yevor Od Al Dvar Hashem, I will no longer violate Hashem's commandments. Hashem responds, "You're a bunch of liars." Because Ki Al Kol Givo Koimer, this means to say Vihine. You have to add more words into the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding, Vihine. The truth is, Lo Kiyamta, you have not fulfilled your promise. Ki Al Kol, the proof is in the pudding. Look at what's going on out there. Ki Al Kol Vuchulu At Zona. What does it mean, Zona? The translation is Hoyleches v'noisas mimakoyim l'makoyim. You travel from place to place. Ratzol Leimar Kemo haZona ein darko l'sheves b'makoyim echad. Just like a zona does not sit in one place. Chamasha Kosav, like it says, Ba. The Beisol Lo Yishkivu Raglech, a pasuk in Mishlei, it says concerning the zone in Mishlei, we spent so much time in Mishlei, where we learned today about the zone. There's so many prakim that focus on the zona, and it says that one of the many psukim describing her characteristics is in her home, she does not, her feet do not rest, she's always on the move. Cain, likewise, Holecha Satami Mibes Aku. Every single day you found yourself in another church. You found yourself worshiping another idol. You're always on the move. That is the nature. Loyalty speaks is also worth something. It seems over here the city of at least Klal Yisrael would take for themselves one God and would stick with it. That would be at least some degree. That would be at least not so terrible. At least you show that you have the need of loyalty. You don't have the need of loyalty to anyone. Not to me, not to even another God. Every single day you're on moving, you're selecting other gods. Okay, now there is, before we see the Rashi, there's an interesting drush. A lot of the Mefarshim point out, I will see this in the Radak also as well, but not a little bit different, is the Krivach Siv. It's always nice to have a nice drush to understand why it's spelled one way and it's pronounced the other way. Klal Yisrael, they said, Loi E'evor. We promise you, Hashem, we will no longer transgress your mitzvos. But the Siv, the way it's spelled, is E'evod, which means that really they said to themselves, it's just lip service. We'll make promises, but the truth is we're not going to serve you. Avod means to serve, and here in this context it means to serve Hashem. They really in their hearts said, Hashem, yeah, you saved us, thank you very much, but you know what? We're still not interested in serving you. Just for the show, we'll express our thanks and we'll say, Hashem, we're not going to transgress with the Reish Avodah Zarah. But the truth is, they really had no kavanah to serve Hashem. It's interesting that these two expressions of Avod and Avor, the Krivach Siv in this popular Jewish, which the Radak alludes to, it's a little bit differently, is with the letter Dalet and the letter Reish, because that touches upon Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemaim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Eloheinu Hashem Echad. There's a Dalet, and we're mechuyev to pronounce, to emphasize the Dalet. And the Dalet in the Sefer Torah is spelled with a massively large Dalet. Why? And so the simple reason is, don't make a mistake and read it Acher. Hashem Acher. Hashem is just something else. Hashem is one of many. Shema Yisrael Hashem Eloheinu. Hashem is our God. Hashem Acher. But he's just one of many. He's Acher, he's someone else. He's someone else's God. This nation has this God, this nation has that God. So as far as Hashem is concerned, when the Umos, Olam, look at the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they say, yeah, Hashem is Acher, he's another God, a God of another nation. That is the spitz of Apikursis. Hashem is Echad. And in order not to make this mistake between Acher and Echad, there has to be a very large Dalet. A very large Dalet to make that point. And therefore, we also have to emphasize, when you say the Dalet, you have to pronounce it, you have to emphasize it. Echad, we don't really know how to pronounce it. We can't really be Marachim Dalet because we all know that today that Ashkenazim, we do not differentiate between the Dalet Degusha and the Dalet Refuya. A Dalet is one of the letters, Beget Kosef, which can have a Dalet. Can have a dot. One of the letters that can have a dot. And when it has a dot, then it's like a base. And when it doesn't have a dot, it's like a vase. Base, vase. Chof, chof, chof. So too, there's a dalet and there's a valid. Without the dot, it's like a TH. So really, we should say, Hashma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. Chazal say, you're supposed to be marach on the dalet. And the reason why you're supposed to marach on the dalet is just like the dalet isn't large. It's a large dalet. The Hashem is one and not Acher, so too you're supposed to emphasize it when we pronounce it. Unfortunately, it's probably known as Hashkocha. We can't pronounce it. We can't do it the right way. It's almost as if we're acknowledging that we're not, we don't fully believe it. Rahman al-Islam. If we really meant it, then Mashiach would have been here a long time ago. There's something lacking in our ability to say Echad. It's interesting here, in this very important pasuk, that's exactly the same difference. Evor, Evod, Evor. With lip service, we say to Hashem, we're not going to Evor. We're not going to transgress. But unfortunately, the way it's spelled, let the record speak for itself. The record is the way it's actually spelled is Lo Evod. We said, even though Hashem, you've done for us kindness, unfortunately, we're not committed to the cause to the degree we're going to serve you. Instead, we said, we're not going to serve you. We're not faithful. Now let's see Rashi, Pasuk Chaf. Rashi says, Shavarti ulecha ol shel eitz, neifel bo lashon shavira, a yoke of wood. Rashi is trying to point out, explain the difference between the two different expressions. There is the breaking, shavarti, and then there is the word nitakti. Why is there poetic repetition? Rashi said it's not poetic. There are two different expressions. When you're dealing with a piece of wood, a yoke is typically made from wood. Sometimes the yoke is covered with metal. Mr. Weiss, you're familiar with this from Masechta Kelim, right? All the different types of yokes and what's tummy, what's tar, wood, metal. So here, so we're dealing with a yoke of wood. Shavarti ulecha ol shel eitz neifel bobuloshon shavira. The hamosros, those are the straps. Those are made from leather. Shehein shalor neifel bohen l'shoin nitika. We use the expression of nitika, which again the Mitzuda said it means to undo. Has to remove. It seems that Rashi seems to say it means to cut.
Take a halo to pull up your tent.
To pull up. Okay, so it seems it could be there's a slight machlokes Rashi in the Mitzudos. Is it means to remove? Doesn't the removal does not necessarily mean there's violence. Doesn't mean that it's been destroyed. It just means it's been undone. You've untied your shoelaces. Rashi seems to be saying, comparing it to the word shavira, there's a more violent type of detachment, which means it's going to actually be cut. Okay, next words of Rashi, vatoimri, and you said, it's an unusual expression, it's an unusual form of the word, but that's how it means, you said, lo ye'evar, al divarecha, you klal yishol said to Hashem, we will no longer, we're thankful that you have saved us, we owe you one Hashem, we will no longer transgress your words. And Hashem responds, you're a bunch of liars, because look what's going on out there in the world. Ki al kol giva, ach atolo shamarta hiftach tach. You do not guard your promise, because vi al kol giva at tso'ah. Haftochoscha. You did not guard your promise, vi al kol giva at tso'ah. What is the word tsoa? This is a very hard word. So Rashi, I told you before, tsoa means to move. We'll come back to that in a moment. Okay, but Rashi here says tsoa means loshon mishkov umatza. It means a mattress. Yitzu, to spread out my tent. To spread out. To spread out.
A bed
is spread out. You spread out the leather of the bed. So here tsoa means loshon mishkov umatza. Matza is also, it's another word for a bed, a spread. Ki mishamesh l'shoin elan imi ki over here means but. But the truth is, you're liars. Al kol giva govatach l'shoin at tso'ah, you spread out. You spread yourself out. You lie down like a zona. Now let's... What?
With every religion.
With every... You lie down. You embrace, you adopt whatever is popular in that generation, that time, any avodah zara.
Shows a different one every day of the year. 365
ones of avodah zarah for every day of the year. But not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we have another pasuk soon that says that you have more avodah zarahs than there are cities. Every city has its own avodah zarah. You know, today they actually say that a lot of communities, they count the number of streets, how many blocks, and they count the number of shuls. I heard of a certain community, there are 42 blocks in this community. There are 40 blocks, and there are 42 registered shuls. There are more shuls than there are streets. Not about Flop, but somewhere else. So unfortunately, every shul, there's a machloikas, and there's a machloikas, it's like every shul has its own religion, chas v'shalom. But that's coming up a little bit later on. Now let's go back for a moment, take a look one more time at the Mitzudos, because the Mitzudos does not translate the word so'ah the same way Rashi translated it. Rashi, look at the Mitzudos, David. Mitzudos, Tzion, it's so'ah, inyun tiltul, v'noya mimokoyim lamokoyim. Okay, Mitzudas David just told us the idea, the idea of the pasuk, but the Mitzudas defines it means to move. Tsoa means you move around like a zona. A zona is always on the move. She's looking to make a parnasa. She's always going from place to place. So, tiltul v'noa mimokam l'mokam l'chim v'shalachti lo tsoim v'tsoehu. I will send movers and they will cause you to move. That's later on in this sefer. Okay, so it's a difficult... Now also you'll see in the Radak so that so also means, we know, so means waste. So it means... Okay, the Aleph and the Hey can sometimes be interchanged, because the Radak is going to quote the Pakeh, we'll come to it in a moment. And the quote, why is waste called tsoa? We call it tsoa. So it's on the move. The waste, it's not how that is a sign of illness, is when a person's waste, the person's the
loose.
the...
It's loose.
Right. If it stagnates, if it does not move, if it's healthy. The goal is that the digestive system should continuously push the food through the system until it leaves, and in the process, the body absorbs the nutrients and removes the waste. It's always on the move. When the person's food in the stomach and the entire digestive system is not moving, that is the beginning of an illness. That's a very that's where all the problems start. So this is why soa, he tell me it's filled with an aleph, because he quotes a pasuk we'll see in a few moments, is also, it fits into the theme of the Mitzudos David. It's something which is moving. I don't think the word soa is a real word. We use it, we commonly translate it as excrement, waste. But it's not. That's not the real word.
From to exit.
To exit, no. So he's saying something deeper here. He's saying that it's not necessarily mean to exit. It means to move. Movement is not the same thing as exit. They're related, obviously, because when you're moving, you're exiting from place to place, but it has a different connotation. So far we have over here two different interpretations, Mitzudos and Rashi, either movement or it means to spread out. Now, I think also the difference, because if it really would mean movement, it should say tsoyeh. The komatz is what is triggering Rashi to say tsoyeh means to spread out like a mattress. I guess so. I'm not sure, because the ayins and those certain letters, the feminine, the patach and segol. Yeah. A komatz is always a feminine form. A segol is zocha. Okay, so we'll see the way back in a few moments. Okay, let's take a look at the Targum. I apologize, I didn't have time to look up all the words of the Targum. There's actually a book. I don't want to get it, but it costs $92. So I'm not going to buy it. Trying to find it for free somewhere in the library. I don't know anything about the Mechaber, but I saw online that someone wrote a very nice... I don't know if he was Jewish. It doesn't seem like it's from the Haredi press, but a translation and a critique, a critical edition of the Targum on Sefer Yirmiyah. From the little that I read, it sounds pretty interesting. So I think it's a very old book, and it was part of a series. And I will see. Okay, I looked all over to find translation. It's very interesting. It's very, very. There's nothing. As far as I can see, there's no one has come along and translated the Targum of Yirmiyah into either Hebrew, English. I told you, with the exception of this Sefer, there is a Sefer out there. There is a book out there. I don't know if it's a Sefer, but it's not, so you have to go look at each word one at a time to make sure you know the proper translation. Other Svarim, like the Megillos, there are certain Svarim which do have translated at least into Hebrew, and there are things online where they have been translated into English as well. But Yirmiyah, Nevim Acharonim, it's not so easy. So let's see. Let's see what it says over here in Pasuk Chof in the Targum. Me'alma means, A means ki me'olam. Me'alma means from time immemorial. A me'alma. Tavres, near. Amamaya, near means the yoke. I have broken the yoke of the nations, mitzav reichoin. I've always removed the yoke of the nations from upon your neck. Next, pisokis chanikeichoin. I've broken your straps. I'm assuming this means, simple translation, I've broken the straps. Vamartun, and in response to the kindness that I've done with you by freeing you from the subjugation of the Umos Olam, how have you responded? With the words, Loi Nosef, Oid Limevar Al Memroch. You have committed yourself to no longer do Averos. Are, however, you have not been faithful to me. Al Ramah, Minatla, on the high valleys, Usuchos Kolilan, Abuf, I'm assuming that means a leafy tree, under all the leafy trees, At Polcholita Vosa, you've always found yourself worshipping idols. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak Pasik Chof. The Radak Kimi Olam, Mizman Kadmoin, from time immemorial. And here he elaborates. Shavarti Ol Mitzrayim Alechem, I removed the yoke of Egypt from upon you, Kibuchim Choldor Vodar. Natakti Moisrois Hagoyim Alech, I removed the yoke of the nation upon you. Shayisi Natsil Oitzcha, and every time I saved you, Hayisa Oimeres, you would commit yourself with the words, Loi Evor Od Al Mitzvay Secha. And the Radak points out, but there's a ksiv, the way it's spelled is, V'yakosuv e'evod, lo e'evod od akum. So he learns the pasuk simply to mean that you're not going to transgress Hashem's mitzvos, and you're not going to serve idols. Okay, so he puts a very positive twist on the Krivich Siv. There are two positive expressions. You're not going to worship idols, and you're not going to transgress Hashem's mitzvahs. The Lois Aseis and the Aseis. Klal Yisrael is focusing, it's interesting, it's focusing on the Dibor, the Kriya is the positive. And what's hidden is the negative. They commit themselves not to worship idols. However, you have not been faithful. V'loy osi sokein ella b'noyach l'cha. It was very easy for you. Avarto al mitzvosai v'shabos, to transgress my mitzvos v'shavas, and you returned. You backslid. Backsliding la'avo, to worship akum kumosh ato isa ato, like you're doing now. Ki al kol giva gvoha, because look what's going on out there underneath every single high hill there is so of zonah. Now what does this mean? The dime osa be'avoidasa Elohim acherim kumo hazona shetidbak me'at zman bezona echad. The acher kach tachshek zo no acher. I think zona normally means a woman. We compare her in her averos of worshiping idols to a zona. One time to a person that sometimes has a relationship with one zona, and tomorrow he has a relationship with another zona. Vatelech achrof. And most of the words of Yechezkel is compared to this theme of Klal Yisrael being compared to a zona, a woman who is unfaithful, to who just has relations with many men. Kain at avadito avoidas chacham ploini zman echad v'yachakach akum, and then you worship an akum ploini. The at hileches mi giva el giva, you go, you travel from giva el giva, umi eitz ranon el eitz ranon, la avoidas koychavim umazolas. Now, the Radak gets into the specifics. How did I get this interpretation? The Radak is consistent with the parish of Rashi, not like what the with the parish of the Mitzudois. Not like Rashi that says that you spread yourself out. Okay, not, it's not a contradiction, it's the same idea. You spread yourself out, but now he gets into the specific so'ah. Choyleches v'noisas, good morning, mimokoim l'mokoim, you travel from place to place. V'chein miher so'ah lihi posach. So here are Mechol, in this pasuk in Yeshaya, so'ah is spelled with an ayin. And there the common translation is excrement. So yeah, I think so. It's actually spelled with an ayin. Li poseach. V'chein tsoah berov kichoy. I'm not familiar with that pasuk. Achu poyel yotze. It's one expression. It's one. It's the shorish of the word is the same. It's an act. That expression. It's an act. Fine. It's an active verb. But the point over here is so li poseach tsoah. Is a word which means you're on the move. And when it comes to excrement, it is a borrowed term. There is no, at least in this pasuk, we're not describing waste. It normally perish. Isn't that normally the word to use to refer to waste? Perish?
It's probably soa.
Soa.
Could be, it means this is...
tells you, take off your soiled garments, right? Because didn't sow it. When you see that.
There it's spelled with an al. Okay, there maybe it's different. Okay, I don't know.
That doesn't mean zonah. It means the actual snus. It's a moving snus.
Okay, but I just want to put out the word means to move. The word. So here there's a zonah. She's always on the move. She's always on the move. The word soa, we just said before, excrement. Why is excrement defined with the word soa? Because waste in the body is always moving from place to place. That's how I saw this explained. It could be, I even saw this in the art scroll, if I'm not mistaken. He explained it like this. Okay, let's go to, now is there a medrash? I keep on forgetting. I think there's a medrash here I wanted to mention before we move forward. No, it's a little bit later on. Okay, it's a little bit later on. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chof Aleph. V'yonuchi Hashem continues to give Musa. V'yonuchi I nitatich sorek. What is a sorek? A sorek is a choice vine. There are many different types of vines. Sorek is an expression which means the best. I had high hopes for you, Klal Yisrael. When I originally planted the seeds to produce a nation that will serve me, it was through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they were the best of the best. I planted you as a sorek, a choice vine, kulo zera emes, that was complete with seed that is faithful. And what happened? How could it be that years later, the eich nehepacht li surei hagefen nochriya? How did it happen that you have to translate these words a little out of order? How did you turn away from me, nepachtli? You turned away. You transformed to li to me, surei as a gefen, as a vine that turns away to nochriya, to be unfaithful to its own kind. Let's see what this means in more detail in the Mitzudos David, Pasuk of Aleph. V'yonochi nitatich sorek, mitchila nitatich me'anfei gefen meshubach. In the good old days, I planted this vineyard, Klayashel in many places compared to a vineyard. I planted you from branches of a vine, meshubach, that it was the best. V'choizer u'mifaresh. Okay, and the next few words is an explanation. Hakol mizera emes. Now, what does it mean, zera emes? Heim Avraham Yitzchak. This is Avraham and Yitzchak. No, not Yaakov. No, Avraham Yitzchak. I'm sorry. And where's the Mitzudas? Next page. Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. They are the zera emes. Yaakov, we know Yaakov was Ish emes. Titin emes liyaakov. V'im kain. Roi ha'yiso liyos ki moham. You were fit to be like them. V'eich ne'pach. Now here are the hard words to translate. V'eich ne'pach l'muli. Liyos badim li. Now I'm not sure what this word means. Badim means a liar?
No. Here it means a stick.
A stick?
Sticks.
Liyos badim.
The
Muli Lios Badim sticks Reim, evil.
Evil.
Bad sticks, Hamosarim in Hagafen, which turn away from the vine to attach themselves to other fields. Asher kol achas nochriya vazari, each one is strange and turns away min hanetia, from a sishve alecha, and you're not from the kind. You are not faithful to your seed. You are meant to have produced a certain quality of grape, and you have been unfaithful, you have turned away, and you have produced something which is foreign. How could that possibly be? Now let's see Rashi. Now before we go further, I just want to point out, let's the word soreik is playing with the word emes. Because sorek, all the commentators, the midrashim tell us, is the same letters as sheker. Okay, it's not in the right order. Sin kuf resh is sheker. So here in one word we have kulo zera emes. I planted you as a sorek, kulo zera emes. So sorek is not, even though it doesn't make sense over here, we're referring to emes. But when the letters of a word are spelled out of order, that it means the opposite. If you have a word and you take those letters and you twist the letters, you're trying to connote the opposite of what those words are, what that those letters really represent. If the letter Shin Kuf Resh represents Sheker, and you twist it out of shape, and you write the letters out of order, you're trying to imply that you are the opposite of Sheker. You are pure Emes. And to explain, the Pasuk says, Kuloi Zer Emes. I planted you as a Sorek. Sorek can still mean a vine. Kuloi zera emes. Let's see Rashi. Rashi over here says pasuk chaf aleph says nitatich sarek sarek hu zemoros gefen toiv. It is a choice vine. Kloimar, you are children bnei avos kishem. You come from good stock. Vitzadikim. Tzadikim, umidrasha, what's the medrash? Nitatich sarek hasafti l'cho al sheva mitzos shol b'nei noyach sheish neos v'sheish k'minyan sarek. Rashi is not, it's not common that Rashi makes gematrias. When Rashi gives us a gematria, it's a significant. Sarek is the gematria 606. And we already had sheva mitzos b'nei noyach. Hashem has given us 606 in addition to the seven, to a grand total of 613. And that's what I'm saying. Sarek is begematria sheish miros v'sheish, 606, and that's in addition to the sheva mitzvah spinei noach for a grand total of 613. Rus is also 606. In addition, she was a Giyores, in addition to the Sheva Mitzvah Sbnei Noyach.
So don't we really count the 620?
So there are 620 letters in the Aseres, there are 620 letters in the Aseres Hadibros. And in fact, you're touching upon another Medrash that focuses on the word V'Anochi. In the beginning of the Pasuk says, V'Anochi is the Aseres Hadibros. V'Anochi Nitatich Sarech. I planted you as a choice vine with the words Anochi. When I gave you the Aseres HaDibros, which include within it the 620 letters, which is 613 plus the 7. So you're right, Rav Meir. So you're saying over here is that there are two different numbers how to calculate the Taryag Mitzvos. On the one hand, we calculate Taryag Mitzvos 613. The other hand, it's also calculated at times as Keser. Keser is 620.
Lucha is 2 times Lua.
Yeah.
Luach is 44.
So that's 88.
So it already ties in.
How does it tie in? How does 88 tie in? How does 88? Pause. We have to eat another piece of kugel. Alright. Anochi, okay, there's another Jewish which says, V'anochi nitatich sarech, I planted you as a... with the word Anochi. Okay, then even Rashi...
87, right?
Oh, that's what you're saying. Anochi is 87.
In Akailo is 88.
Okay, alright, okay. So two luchas. Okay, I hear. Alright, let's go further. Surei, we have a French word. What does that mean? To turn away.
Degenerate. I think the closest word in English I can think of is dissolute.
Which
means somebody who is no moral. Or
once
could be a shikar also.
Okay. Gefen nochuya, the Rashi comes to our rescue and he says this is a variety of vines. Hashem planted, it's a wild type of vine which is inferior quality. A wheat, Hashem planted us as a choice vine, and what have we produced? We were a soyrek, and we turned into a gefen nochuyah. It's a term, a title of a certain inferior type of vine. Let's see the Targum. Targum Pasuk Chaval says, Vano, ki kayem techoin kodamai, I established you before me. Kimin tzav, the planting. We had that word before in the beginning of the Sefer, Gafna. Bechira, a choice, the planting of a choice vine. Kul choin, all of you are ovdei kishot, servants of emes.
True servants.
Different than Rashi and the Mitzudos, who are now referring to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, but true servants. The Echdin, how could it possibly be? Ishtanesun, Kodamai, you have transformed yourself from before me. Be'ovo dechon, mekal kilaya, through your horrible, through your corrupt deeds. Sitesun, to turn away. Mi bosar, pulchoni, from turning away from my service. Havesun, you have become kegefen de les be hanoho. So Targum did us the favor and told us that gefen nochuya is not necessarily a variety. It means vine, which is of no benefit whatsoever. Let's see the Radak Pasuk Chof Aleph. Radak tells us of Vanochi Sorek. What is a Sorek? Same thing as a Gevin HaMeshubach. Everyone agrees. There's no disagreement. A Gevin HaMeshubach that it is choice. Shabimine HaGevin. V'oimer ki ba'anavav lo yimtza chartzon. But he adds one more point. There are no seeds. Okay, seedless grapes. Is that really a Milo? That there are no seeds in the grape when they produce wine.
When you're in a fruit store. Generally.
When you eat it. Okay, we all know that. When you eat it for dessert, obviously it's a delicacy. But I'm just curious, when you produce wine, I know nothing about wine. When you produce wine, are seedless grapes a Milo?
No, it makes it sour.
Oh, right, it's a chasaron. The seeds have a quality where they remove the impurities from the liquid. The seeds are there for a purpose. When you're using grapes to produce wine, that was my impression. That grapes that have seeds are preferred in the production of high quality wine. Yet it says here, okay, that's what it says.
He's saying, I started you out.
No, he's saying the best. He's touching over here with seeds, which are the best. It says Zeremes, Kula
now Zeremes. Now you've abandoned their values, so now it's like you're seedless.
Okay, let's see how he translates it. Who a gefen hamashuach shemina gefen v'omer ki ba'anovav lo yimtza charetzon. In these types of grapes, you do not find seeds. V'omar zel Avraham, Omar mentions Avraham. In reference to Avraham, notice that he does not say Yitzchak and Yaakov. He just says Avraham. Omar, eich hayazeh, ve'eich, how could it be such a thing? Ve'eich yotzosa k'may gefen nachuya, ki mat mi, what is that word there? Ki mit atcha hayo gefen nivchar, you're planting. Your planning was the gefen nivchar, the zer emes, and seeds of emes. Okay, the seeds are now referring to the seeds in the pits. The seeds refer to the seeds of the vine. Okay, we're now referring over here to this, because he just told us that this vine does not have seeds. These grapes do not have seeds. It means the seeds of the vine. The seeds that were used to produce the vine itself was zer emes. V'hoi roi sheyotze mimenu gamkein pri toiv v'hagafanim sheyitu mimenu yiyya toivim. And the vines that will come from this, all the generations of vines that will come from this will be the best. It is a title for a gefen hara. For who nochri lemata, it is strange to the one who planted it. Shahoya soyrek, the net the nota ms, who it was shahoya originally it was soyrek the net ms huli kumo nochri has become this that I've planted. High quality vine grapes has become strange. The zor ki'ilo yotzo mimenu, as if it did not come forth from me. It's like a mamzer. This is not what I've asked for. The suria gefen heim habadim horoim. The suria gefen are these poles, these branches horoim, which are evil. Shemesir moisamin agefen, shoots that go away from the vine. She'ein bochem tzarech, which have no purpose. Omar nefachtoli, you have turned away from me. Kimo like suri hagefen, like these branches that turn away from the vine. O kmo gefen nachuya shepayrosecha beushim, or like a vine that's nachuya, which is fruit is beushim, which is evil, which is corrupt. Loy anavim loy hagefen timsa beloshon. Now then he goes on to say, beushim loy anavim, which do not have any grapes. Period. The hagefen timsa beloshon zoch beloshon nekeva. He just wants to point out over here that we're using over here the word gefen is nochriya, is in the feminine form. So he's saying that's not a problem, because this is one of the words which can be both feminine and masculine. Hagefen, timsa, b'loshon zachar, b'loshon nekeva, b'loshon zachar, gefen, b'keik, a busting vine, which means it's healthy. The timsa gefen, the yimsa gefen, another pasuk, the yimsa's b'loshon zachar, Vayelaket mimenu, that's part of that pasuk, but there it says vayimsaz b'loshon zachar, or b'loshon nekeva, v'hi kifay rachas. That's a feminine form. Lagefen, lagefen, achas. That's achas. Lagefen achas, also feminine. V'agefen huaderes, v'agefen nachuyos. So he just wants to point out that the word gefen can be used both feminine and masculine. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk habeis kiim techapsi beneter. If you try, now Hashem over here says that unfortunately your sin has reached a point where it is so great that it's beyond the point of return. even if you will do tshuva, there will still be a punishment. Ki im techapsi. Ki im techapsi. Ki im techapsi baneter. Even if you will cleanse yourself with neter. Neter is, what's it in English? It's a chemical, it's a detergent. It's a detergent. The tarbilach bayris, different types of detergents. Even if you will attempt to cleanse yourself with these types of detergents, nichtam avonech lefanai.
Sodium.
That's neter. Nitro. What's it called? Nitro. What?
Sodium.
Sodium. Okay. It's a detergent. It's a detergent that is used to cleanse clothing. The tarbilach bayris nichtam avonech lefanai. Your sin is stained before me. In other words, there's no way you can permanently remove the stain that you have brought upon your neshama. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. Notice here, it does not say Hashem Tzevakos. The previous pasuk, when it mentions over there that sins there, it says Hashem Elokim Tzevakos. I don't know the significance why sometimes it says Hashem Elokim and sometimes it says Hashem Elokim Tzevakos, but here only it says Hashem Elokim. Now, there's an important mitzudas here. The mitzudas is very, very critical. And what this means here. Pasuk Chav Beis in the mitzudas David. Techapsi. Milosh. The mitzudos, okay, v'atibilach bayris, tarbi li atzmech bayris, letzachzech atzmecha al yadoi. Even if you go and you'll rub these various detergents onto the garment to cleanse itself, rotzol loymar, af im tiru lefonai, lefnei habrios tzidokois u'ma'asim toivim, even if you will show before me, for people, you'll change your ways, and you will do tzedakah, and ma'asim toivim, hine loy toil b'zeh. It's not going to help. Ki avoneich sha'ato oise b'seiser, the sins that you do secretly, even if you will publicly do things out in the open, and you will appear to the hamoin am that you are tzadikim, the fact that you are still committing sins b'seiser, nir lufonai, it appears before me kikesem, like a stain. Ki loy heviram hanete v'habayris, which detergents have not removed. Ki loy mar, Rashi here says something very powerful, that it means here that even if you're going, this is the mistake that Klal Yisrael was making at this point in time, and this is a very big debate between the Achronim, and we had this with Yeshaya, and it's a very common thing. If we would be taken today, we would be put in a time machine, and we would be taken to the time of the Churban, what exactly would we see? So we have multiple contradictions. And some sukkah makes it sound like it was a danger zone. If we'll be put in a time capsule, be brought to the year before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you would be afraid to walk in the streets. Someone might come and kill you. It was Ritzicha, Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Dam. You would need armed guards to walk the streets. If your wife was walking in the street, every man in the street, the only thing they would want to do to her would be to rape her. That's the impression you get from Chazal. Every single tree was an Avodah Zarah. Isn't that the impression you get? On the other hand, there are multiple Midrash and Chazal that say that's not so. You walk and you would say, what a wonderful society. Halavai in America in 2016, we should even be 1% of the righteousness of this generation. And there were Shpatei Kinosios, Shpatei Midrashos, people were learning, and society, everything was fine and good, and there was multiple chesed organizations. But Chazal and the Psukim that we see here are magnifying, super magnifying minor imperfections. On the outside, it all seems fine and good. Everywhere you look, there's another chesed organization. Everywhere you look, there's another minyan for mincha. Everywhere you look, there's another daf yom yeshir. But the Navi is saying, but inside, I see the midos and the machshavos are corrupt. Everyone is jealous of their friend. Why was he zeichet to this job? Why does he get this one have a problem with shidduchim? This one does not. Everything had ulterior motives. And that's what this pasuk over here is saying. Don't be, this is one of the makaros, according to the parish of the Mitzvah Sovet. Over here, Yirmiyah is saying, who are you fooling? Just because here you're telling me that it's a wonderful society, there's so much chesed, there's so much gemilas chasad, and there's so much tzedakah. Don't be, Hashem saying, I'm not fooled. Just because you are applying to your neshamos, neter, and boiris, which are symbols of tzedakah and ma'asim tovim, Hashem says, I know what is going on under the hood. I know all of the secrets that are behind the scenes. And therefore, in my eyes, nichtam avoneich lefonai. There are hidden sins, and these hidden sins are so severe, it's ultimately going to destroy Klal Yisrael if I let things continue the way they are. Hashem is in His infinite wisdom knows that we are in a state of self-destruction, and don't be impressed with what you see out on the outside and all of the chitzonis. This is the interpretation of the Metzudos David. Not everyone agrees to this. Let's see Rashi. Rashi seems to say something a little bit different. Bineter min adama shechafen v'shafen bo es habagadim. Okay, type of detergent, type of earth use detergent. Boris nikayon, again another detergent. Kamo ubo var levav, a pure heart. V'yesh loazim boris. What?
Boris, isn't it lie?
Lie.
L-Y-E.
Okay, could be. I'm not familiar with these chemicals. Okay, v'yesh loazim boris. Whatever that word is, balas. Nichtam avoynech. Ha.
Savon.
Soap. Savon. That's what it means in Hebrew. Modern Hebrew is soap. Okay. Nichtam avoynai ha. Now he's quoting the Targum. Ha kiroisham kechama dulo. It is kiroisham. It is impressed. Kitama as a stain. Kitama means a stain. Dulo dochi, that is not pure. Kain sagiu choyvech, so has it become great. Choyvech, your sins, kodamai before me. He's doing nothing more than translating, telling us the target, which we'll see in a moment again. Kesem, he has a word for kesem, a stain. Avonech. Now here is where Rashi differs with the Mitzudos. Avonech is al avoin ho'egel nemar. Shehu kayam lo'olam. The sin of the eagle is kayim loylam. The kumoy shenema uvyoyim pakti ufakadati alehem kol pekidosh habos. All punishments that come upon the Jewish people al yisrael ye miktsas avoin hu eagle bohem. So we can never get the stain of the eagle out away from us. This stain, even though in every single generation it appears that we are doing good things, in every single generation we are working upon ourselves, and it's compared to neter and boris, there is always an internal stain, and that internal stain are not secret averos that are taking place behind closed doors, as the Mitzudo says, but rather it goes back to the Shurish of our Neshamos from the time of Matan Torah, when only 40 days after Matan Torah we worship the Egel, we're doing Pakti, Pakadati Aleihem. So Rashi is not getting involved in any Musar, Rashi is just describing history. He's just describing history, something which we cannot relate to. We cannot relate to the chet of the eagle, what exactly the severity of the chet of the eagle that took place at the time of Matan Torah and the damage that it brought upon the internal makeup of Klal Yisrael, and which we suffer until the time of the coming of Mashiach. Okay, now let's see the Targum, then we'll see the Radak, which is another idea, third idea, where Targum Pasuk of Gibel says, Eich Dein. I'm sorry, there are pasuk of base. Are im tidamin liis nak'o mechavayich. Even if you tried tidamin means you attempt liis nak'o to cleanse yourself mechavayich kimo dim nakan, just like a person applies to cleanse clothing with binitra umechavrin bivorisa, and you attempt to whiten your garments with boris, it doesn't help. Ha chiroisham, it is permanently stained. Kisma, a stain. Delo doche, that is not pure, that cannot be purified. So too, kein sagiu, so too it is great. Chavayich kodomai omar Hashem Elokim. Let's see the Radak. Radak says something very interesting. Pasik chof beis. Let me find the pasik over here. Previous page chof hei. Ki im techapsi kmo shemechapsim abeged b'netir uberis lehavir nimen lakesem. Just like you attempt to cleanse your garment with these two different ingredients, ki im techapsi atzmech v'tinoki atzmech kloimar shetoshuvi b'tshuva afal pikein anishcha al avoynech. It's not going to be enough. You're still going to have to be punished. Why? Al kolkach al avoynech kein anishcha al avoynech Kol kachu rav otzamu v'otzam. V'hinei kosov. It's so great. There's no choice. Either if you do tshuva, it's stilted, and he explains. V'hinei kosov kivsi. It says in the pasuk kivsi mare libech Yerushalayim l'man toshia. Cleanse mare libech Yerushalayim. Cleanse the appearance of your heart, Yerushalayim, so that I save you. Hateshuvu lezos hasheilo ki al kolponim im also yisrael shav osah hadar teshuvu hayu noishoyim mehoyim. He's saying a contradiction, because this other pasuk seems to get, I don't know the details, but it seems to indicate there are other psukim in Nach which indicate that if they would do tshuva, they would be spared. And this pasuk is saying that no matter how much tshuva you do, it's too little, too late. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? So the answer is, if they indeed, if they would do tshuva, im also, three lines from the top, im also yisrael sheba osa hadar teshuva, hayu noishoim meho oyev, velo hayu megala oisam, Hashem would not exile the Jewish people, avol hayu mekavim oynish avoynam harav be'artsam. The korban, the punishment, would have taken place in Eretz Yisrael. There would have been some type of horrible event that would happen in Eretz Yisrael itself that would be punishment for the sins of the generation. But at least they would not have to go into exile down to Bavel. There are certain types of sins which are so severe that tshuva alone is not sufficient. El al yedei hayisurim shememarkin, which cleanse ha'avoin achar hatshuva. Rabbi Seinu zuchon levrach hikshu elu psukim. They take note of this contradiction that we just mentioned before. V'tirtzu ki ze v'ze achar gezar din. Another answer is that we're asking this contradiction. One pasuk is mashma that if you do tshuva you're going to be spared, and this mashma if you do tshuva you're not going to be spared. And they give a different answer. And the answer is, there are different types of gzar din. There's a gzar din that comes with a shvua, and a gzar din that comes without a shvua. The tiritzuki zevze achar gzar din ela kan gzar din sheyeshimo shvua, kan gzar din sheinimo shvua. Ki gzar din sheyeshimo shvua einay nikra. If there's a gzar din in which Hashem swears, that cannot be undone. Tshuva does not help. Kemoshe ne'amar luchin nishpati lebeis eli. Eli, his two sons, Chofni Pinchas, they did terrible averos, and there Hashem made a shvua. That type of shvua, that type of punishment prediction cannot be undone because there was a shvua. But here, where it says that it can be undone with other psukim, is when there is no shvua. Okay, so therefore, his basic yisoid over here is that he's giving a new yisoid, not like Rash, not like the Mitzudos, and that the pasuk here is telling that the sins of Klal Yisrael have reached a point where they are so severe, there's going to be punishment. However, you do not necessarily have to go into Golos. It can very well be that you will remain in Yerushalayim, you will remain in Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem will bring punishment, which we do not know how that would work, whatever that means exactly, but that's the point that we have reached here in this pasuk. When it said, then and it's not a contradiction to what it says that tshuva works, because when tshuva works, tshuva is going to help you, not that you're not going to have to go into galus. The pasuk that says tshuva works is to prevent you from going into galus. The pasuk here that says that tshuva will not work means there will still have to be some accountability here in Eretz Yisrael. A fourth answer to reconcile this contradiction, a different answer is, there's a different gzar din. A gzar din This is similar to what we had in Megillas Esther, where Mordechai met Eliyahu Hanavi, and Eliyahu Hanavi says that in Shemayim it's been nigzar lahashmid laharugul abed is kol hayehudim. Mordechai asked Eliyahu, was the gzar din sealed in tit or was it sealed in blood? And he said if it's sealed in blood, there's nothing you can possibly do, it's forever. If it's sealed in tit, then it can be undone. And Eliyahu Hanavi said it's sealed in tit, so it can be done. That would seem to parallel this concept of a gzar din that is accompanied by a shvua with a gzar din that is not accompanied with a shvua. Okay, now he just goes on to give us some...
Does that mean somewhere along the line there's no room for tshuva?
Yes. Somewhere along the line there is no, well, at least according to that's a different, that's really subject to the different interpretations. We have here a very frightening pasuk. The pasuk here says It's too little, too late. Kim techabsi baneter v'tarbelach baris. It's too late. Nichtam avoynech lefanai. It's too little, too late. So we have here really 3/4 different approaches. Mitsudo says, "Is mashma truva always helps." And over here, he's just giving them mussar. You're a bunch of fakers. On the outside, you're putting on the outside tzedakah and ma'aseh and tovim, but behind closed doors, yes. According to Rash, according to the mitsudos in his mashma, that you can do tshuva on the inside. If you will do tshuva to the degree where you will do tshuva for the sins that have been done secretly, that will work. Rashi avoids the entire issue entirely. And Rashi just says that when it says nichtam avonech lefanai, is in reference to the chet ha'egel, which is something which really is beyond our control. That's not for us. The Radak says you cannot do tshuva. You've reached a point in time where tshuva will no longer help. There has to be yisurim. Where will the yisurim be? Well, if you do tshuva, the yisurim will be in Eretz Yisrael, which will be an advantage. At least you're not going to go into galus. But if you don't do tshuva, then you're going to have to go into galus. And then he points out that there's another concept of a gzar din that's accompanied by a shvua, and a gzar din that's not accompanied by a shvua. Okay, now he just gives us some translations of these words. Benet and the yesh mefarshim hu shukarin loy balas aloimi alom. The yesh mefarshim shuha ofa sherechet simbo, which he racha roish, which he used as a shampoo. Uvoy menakim kol davar. Boris yesh mefarshim shukarin loy balas savon, which he's telling soap. The yesh mefarshim shu esav, it's a grash shemeshem chab simbo, which he uses as a detergent. Next, okay, let's go to the next passage quickly. Eich chami loy nitmesi. How dear you, Klal Yisrael, say to me, loy nitmesi, that I did not contaminate my neshama. How dare you say, we have to repeat these words, Eich Taimri, how dare you say, Achrei HaBa'olim Loi Holachti, I did not go after the Ba'olim. Re'i Darkech Bagai, look at your ways in the Gai, in the valley. That's where they worshipped Pa'or. Okay, we'll see that in the Mitzvot. Di'i, Mo Osis, know, be aware, cognizant of what you have done. Bichra kala nisareches derachecha. You are like a bichra. A bichra, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, is a camel, a female camel. There is a great dispute in the Mefarshim here. What exactly is a bichra? A bichra. It's a very unusual word. He translates this as a female camel, a young female camel. A bichra kala, which is very, because a kala means very swift on its feet. Misareches, which is strapped. Misareches comes from the word surochnal, a shulace derachecha, which means that it is set in its ways. There's nothing, it's as if someone has taken and tied it up, forced it to do something. There's nothing you can do to convince this young camel to behave itself, to stop running around and sit still, be quiet. There's nothing you can possibly. Let's just see the mitzvahs. Let's see this pasuk quickly. Pasuk of Gimel. Eich Taimri, Eich Tichachashu Loimar. How dare you contradict me to say Loi Nitmesi Ata Now Avodas Koychav Mazalos Miulam Lochalachti Achrebolam. How dare you make this statement? It's a lie. Ri'i Darkeich Bagai. There's proof. I will present evidence. I will present evidence to show that you indeed are guilty. So here the Mitzvah says something very interesting. He says that the Ikar Avodah Zarah was Beis Pa'ar. Now Beis Pa'ar was an Avodah Zarah that was worshipped through Hefkerus. Famous Gemara tells us the way you worship Beis Pa'ar was by relieving yourself in front of Beis Pa'ar. And that's interesting because it follows back what it says in the previous pasuk of Tzoa, going back to Tzoa. And it also refers to cleansing your garments with neter and boiris. Tzoa is from the things which cause the greatest stains on garments, which are almost impossible to remove. I mean, sometimes almost impossible to remove it. And here again, we're focusing on the way the Avodah Zarah was worshipped was through relieving yourself in the presence. We know the Gemara there says that a person, he used the nose of the Avodah Zarah as a way to cleanse his body. when he finished coming out of the Beis HaKisei, and he received highest praise from all of the priests. We never had a person here that was mechabed, the Avodah Zarah with such novelty, with such originality,
creativity.
So this what does this represent? So all of the Mefarshim explain that this represents the opposite of discipline. A person is put into this world to be a disciplined person, to train yourself, to discipline yourself. Going, relieving yourself publicly in front of an Avodah Zarah represents the ultimate form of hefkerus, of anarchy, of no restraints whatsoever. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a shocking pasuk at the very end of the Torah, Leilus HaSimchas Torah, where was he buried? Vayikber Oisai Bagai Mul Beis Pe'ar. If we were writing the Torah, I guarantee you would not write, you would not mention that detail. It's not necessary. Moshe was buried. Lo yada ish es kurosai ad hayom hazeh vayikber Oisai Bagai. You have to go mention that the guy, the valley where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, happened to be Mul, opposite this famous place of where the Avodah Zarah, the capital of Pa'ar. What's going on? This is the Mamash Pasuk, this is one of the most famous Pesukim. Everyone's listening intently at the time of the Sima of the Sefer Torah and Simchas Torah. The answer is, this is the biggest Shlach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe's Machus was the extreme opposite of Pa'ar. Pa'ar represents no restraints, a life of hefkeris. You do whatever you want. There are a lot of psychologists out there that
the whole base part doesn't necessarily mean physical.
Oh, so that's like, mul means consent. That's what I'm trying to say. Mul means opposite. Moshe was the extreme opposite of what Pa'ar represented. Discipline. There was no person in this world that was more disciplined. There was no greater yekka than Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the most disciplined, person. This is the highest shach. This was his hesped. Moshe was called an Eved Hashem, but his hesped was also, he was a disciplined person. He trained Mul Beis Pa'ar. Here, the Mitzudos David was coming to give Musa to Klal Yisrael. What is the specific chait, the shoresh of the chait of Klal Yisrael at this tkuf in time that's leading up to the Churban Beis Hamikdash? Is a lack of discipline. Hefkeres. You don't have, like, this is a very big thing today. It was among in the secular world, and it's crept into the Jewish world. Is you don't have to discipline children. It's, you have to, you know, they have rights. They have rights. They can make decisions. They can challenge you. They can call you by your first name, and so on and so forth. It's a very big issue. How much discipline is proper? If too much discipline, you'll child abuse. Too little discipline, the child becomes a monster. Where do you draw the line? This is an ongoing dilemma that the whole world is struggling with. But here, Yirmiyah is saying, don't go tell me, look at your behavior. What does it mean, bagai? Guy, according, or at least according to the Mitzudas. Not everyone agrees with the Mitzudas. But the Mitzudas takes the word guy as a synonym for pa'ar. Pa'ar. Why? I'm assuming it's because Moshe was buried bagai, and what the Torah defines the guy, mul beis pa'ar. Not everyone says this. The Mesudah says this. This is the Musar of Yirmiyah. You are people that are hefty. Everything goes. On a whim, you'll do this, you'll do this, you'll do this. There's a lack of restraint, discipline, a lack of Musar. That exactly is what Musar is all about. It's powerful stuff, what the Mesudah says. Okay, so A1 will...
practice the rituals.
Not exactly. That's what I mean. It doesn't mean they practice the rituals of exposing themselves and relieving themselves. It means that conceptually. Conceptually, they were people that had no restraints. Everything goes. No limitation. Let's just read these words over here. Haloi ri'i darkech bagai mul beis pa'ar. It's a code. The word here is a code for mul beis pa'ar. Shesham avadato haba'al udi'i ma'asho asisa hayom. Know what you've done today, hazeh. V'teida v'taskel sh'oso havon asher haschalto sham hu amad ar hayom hazeh. That sin that you've committed back in Mitzrayim is still with you ar hayom hazeh, the lack of discipline.
One of
This is the Mitzudos. Yeah. Rashi is not the Mitzudos that doesn't say boo about the eagle. He's not dealing with the eagle. Different mahalach, a different line of approach.
So there were more Yidden involved in the bar than there was in the eagle.
The eagle was only the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav. The main chait of the eagle was indifference, was silence. Klal Yisrael, they're just not about business. They want to do the eagle, let them do the eagle. We're not getting involved. Bichra Kala, just so says, we'll stop. Bichra Kala, you are like a Bichra Hariyata, Kigamla. Now, therefore, according to the Mitzvah, he has to follow through. And he has to follow through and tell us that this female camel that's light on its feet is the dogma of what base of Baal Pa'ar is all about. No restraints. Everything goes. Kigamla Nikeva Bachura, a young female camel, Hakala, it's light on its feet, Larutz, Yoiser Mehazachar, Asher Niskasher Imo Diracheha, its ways are tied upon it, which means that it's set in its ways. Umin Haga, Achakol Yomecha Tasmid Biminagahu, it continuously does what it does. And what does it do? Lirdoif v'larutz to run b'chol eis. It runs around. You can't. It's a
no, sort of, when you take a camel, you tie one camel behind the other. We all do the same thing. So here also.
I don't think that's what it means. Over here. I mean, over here it's running. It's running. It's wild. It's a certain variety.
Right.
It's a certain variety of camels which is extremely wild and it cannot possibly be tamed. It's unrestrained and it cannot be tamed. It's a wild, it's a wild creature. B'chol eis v'chein ata, likewise you klal yishol kasher. When kasher hischalto ba'avoidas bal pa'ar, nidbekes ba'avoidas haba'olim ad hayom until today. And notice he says ba'avoidas haba'olim. He's eating over here ba'olim. Ba'al l'chor is a different avodah zara. Not bucking all the four forms of our idols, but ba'al seems to be something different. There's pa'ar, and then there is Baal. He's tying them together. It's not clear what he.
Plural. I just think he uses it as an example. You know, that was the
Avodah Zarah. All of the Avodah Zarah are all rooted in Par. Because Par is Hefkeris. Once you're Hefker to do whatever you want, then everything goes.
I think Baalim is a reference to all Avodah Zarah.
All Avodah Zarah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ar Hayoim Hazeh V'loy Sazim have failed to abandon. Okay, so there's more Lama. We'll continue this Mishnah tomorrow. Stop here. Okay, I have the